All right. I would ask you to pray for Alma down there in Mexico, Manuel's wife. She is expecting and due in February. February, but there's the doctors are saying, several doctors, actually three of them are saying that she has too much fluid in the sac there with the baby, and that's causing a lot of pressure on the baby. So they're really monitoring her close, and so pray for her if you will. And this pregnancy there. And Manuel, I just talked to him last night, and he said to tell everybody hello. And so we'll do that there. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Very familiar verse here in verse number 10. It says here, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And as I read this verse this week, I just knew that that's the verse that God would have me to speak on this morning. And so the title is "Fear Thou Not." You hear different people speak, whether it be on the radio, whether it be just where you're working, but you'll hear that phrase, how does it go? "Let not your heart be troubled," whatever. And the people that say that really do not have any depth behind that. They can say that phrase, but they have no more that they can say. And I would say that we are at a critical point in our decade, year, life, even the century. Many are losing jobs, they're losing their unemployment benefits, they're losing health, but many are losing hope and a vision. They are, in many senses, giving up. And this effect is swarming over every facet of our lives. Whether it be a physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be a spiritual, this idea of uncertainty. And this uncertainty really means fear, doubt, and it creates stress. And boy, I tell you what, there are some men there at the hardware that work there, and man, they just do not know how to process the things that are taking place. And the Lord allowed us to knock some doors yesterday on Scranton Road. And we were able to go into a home and speak with a lady for quite some time yesterday, and a Christian lady. My, did she have a lot of things she wanted to share about the present situation and how she's ready for the end, and she thinks it's so close. But for many, they have no hope. They've lost their vision. They have questions and theories and opinions and conspiracies and the groups that are meeting at late at nights in different places that I have no idea about, but these people seem to know about. And boy, as I read this verse, I just thought this says it all for us. It says, "Fear thou not." Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we do thank you for the beautiful snow. Father, it does represent some dangerous times in the roads and walking and so forth, but it is beautifully white, and we thank you for it. We thank you for your promise of the seasons, that they would not cease until that time when we can be with you forever. And we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to be a thankful people, to be a contented people. And at this point, Lord, that we would be a people ready to hear your word and to be able to use it in a practical way, that we would be able to live it and share it with others, that your name would go forth and be honored and glorified. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you think of maybe some comforting words that you have received in recent days from people, not verses, but just comforting words, and then you compare them with the words that God has said in His Word, they're incomparable. Because a comforting word from a person is just for that moment, and that person forgets, and that person moves on. And that person changes friends and friendships and so forth. But the words from our God, they're always the same. In your Bible, it says the same thing as my Bible. And it said the same thing today as it did 3 weeks ago, 400 years ago, and so on and so forth. It says, "Fear thou not." Why? Because His presence should be known. His presence should be known in our lives. If you will, let's go back to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. His presence was known right from the beginning. And we're just going to go back to Deuteronomy 31 for an example. But right from the beginning, the presence of God should have been known. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. The Bible says here, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Verse 8. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." It is ironic to me as we think about verses such as these, and to see a Christian who has lived for God and then some circumstances have come along in his life or in her life, and all of a sudden they throw God in a trash can, they send it to the dumpster, and they never serve him again. Now, I understand that there are some that were never of us. They were never saved. But I think of recently, Manuel, actually on Monday, I'm not sure if that was Monday night or it was Monday night. We had quite a long conversation, and Julie was able to talk to Alma for a while there. But he shared with me, and I shared with you years ago, how that there was that Northside Baptist Church in a place called Iskali, and that pastor had gotten saved out of a life of drinking and went through the Bible Institute, graduated, became the pastor of the church, was extremely separated, but then got into an area where he was over the line, and he was telling people when they could get married and who could get married and so on and so forth, and he just went sort of ballistic 2 months ago and resigned from the church, opened up a carpenter shop, and worked 7 days a week, all day. The carpenter shop you can see from the church. He rented a building. He works Sunday through Sunday, if you will. Does not go to church. His children and wife now, I mean, they were all in the long dresses like we wear here. And now, in 2 months, now they're in pants and shorts. And it's ironic to me how that people can read this book and know what it says and yet forsake it. He says in his word, he's speaking to Israel, we'll see later on, he's promised to us as well, but it says, "It is he that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee." And from what I understand in this life of this fellow is that his health has been going very quickly, as diabetes, and not only was his health going down, but the church was having some financial struggles. And from what I understand, he just thinks God turned his back on him. Well, the Word of God says that he will not fail us. But it also says that we need to draw nigh to him, does it not? So that he will draw nigh to us. And so there has to be some decisions in our lives to create this equation of blessing. We are drawing nigh to him. His promises are faithful, and he is not going to leave us. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I'll believe it when I, what? See it." Tell me how that represents faith. It doesn't. It doesn't, because faith is not based on what I can see. Hope is not based on what I can see or what I can hold on to. I have to use Mrs. Gaffney as illustration. She was at her house and teaching the children about science. And I come out for a second, she was talking about senses and how that God knew where to put everything. And she was relating to the kids, what if your nose or your sense of smell was in your hands? Well, I let Julie change a few diapers this week that I could have changed, but I did not want to. And she came back after one of them, she says, "That was a nasty one. It's a good thing you let me do it." But imagine if your sense of smell was in your hands. It would be terrifying at times. I mean, you use your hands to put your shoes on. So many things, okay? I have to say some funny things to keep you awake, because I know some of you are very tired, okay? But I believe it when I see it. What if your eyes were in your hands? Just think about all the places that it would be easier to see. But then the inconvenience of being able to do things. You'd get dirt in your eyes all the times if they were in your hands. So God knew all of these things. And he knew that faith would grow if we could not see these things first. How many times in Scripture do we see that people were able to understand the future and then they tried to mess it up? And so God knew right where and when to place things so that our faith could grow, so that our hope would be strong in him. Please go with me to Romans chapter 8. It is always easier to see and understand and believe and speak and have a sound opinion about things through hindsight. But our faith does not grow that way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25, Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25, the Bible says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And I've shared with you, I think on a couple of occasions, how that God really just spoke to Julie and I's heart about the salvation of her grandmother. And we went and we witnessed, but it just didn't seem to take hold, and we just had to wait. We just knew that it was God's will that she be saved, but we had to wait and hope. And by God's grace, she did accept the Lord as her Savior. But we do not have to fear, because his presence should be known in our lives. Right from the beginning, I mean, with the children of Israel, his promise was there, and to the end. Go with me to Matthew 28. We probably all could quote this verse by memory. But to the very end, his promise is sure. Verse 20 of Matthew 28 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so there's two things that are extremely important. He said, always. In other words, there wasn't going to be a 5-minute break. There's a girl at the hardware that she needs to take a smoke break, it seems like, every 10 minutes. And so she'll ask different employees to take over the counter for her while she has her little smoke break. And some of the people are extremely fed up with it. But our God never takes a break. He doesn't need his cup of coffee to keep going. He doesn't need his Mountain Dew to take away a migraine. He just is constantly there for us, always unto the end. My brother-in-law Paul shot a buck on Monday, and we just did not have time to cut it up until Friday. But I was excited, because as our children are getting older and they have their own pocket knives, jack knives, they are excited about helping cutting up deer, and that's a blessing. But when the easy pieces of meat were done, so were some of them. And those knives got dull. And some did not want to persevere until all of the work was done, the cleanup and everything. Folks, our God will and does persevere until we're all the way through those trials, until we're all the way through those problems, until we're all the way through those sicknesses, because our God is faithful. And he promised it to his disciples here on this day. And as I thought about this verse right here, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end," I have to tell of a little story that happened to us yesterday. And I already told Andrew I was going to use this. But yesterday, as we were knocking doors, Andrew was my partner, and we knocked on this door. And it's a very pretty home, a beautiful home. Knocked on the door, wasn't sure if anybody was even home. All of a sudden, dogs came to life, little miniature collies, with hair about that long, it seemed. And the lady, she wiggled her way out the door. A little short lady wiggled her way out the door and closed it as tight as she could behind her to keep those dogs' nose in there. And she began to talk for just a second, And then she realized that she wanted to spend more time talking with us. And so she says, come on inside. My dogs don't bite. And they're just little short things. And so I pushed Andrew in the door. And as I was pushing him in the door, because I didn't want the dogs to escape. And so I was pushing him in the door, but my kids do not do very well with certain animals. And before I realized what was going on, poor Andrew, he was about ready to climb on top of that lady. And it was just that the dogs were trying to get at him, and they were standing on him from both sides. And the problem was is that Andrew kept going away from me, going with the lady, and I couldn't really help him much. I was trying to get the door closed, and he was up like this, you know? And so I finally grabbed a hold of his wrist and pulled him back. Not necessarily the safety, because those dogs came with him as well. But as I thought about that whole situation yesterday, the farther away he got from me, the harder it was for me to help him. Also, as he walked in that door, he forgot all about me and my big muscles, because it was all about dogs and get them away from me, and he was right next to that lady. I mean, he didn't know her from Adam or Eve. But as I thought about that situation, how many times are we just like that? We get into circumstances and we lose all common sense. We lose our capabilities to remember who it is that is with us and who it is that abides in us that is stronger than he that is in the world. And we find ourselves in a major complicated situation, letting our physical and emotional capabilities just go haywire. It's like right now on our van, as engineers try to get smarter, they don't. And there is what's called a hydraulic booster on our van, which I'd never heard of before, and most of the people at the auto store didn't really understand what it was all about either, because when I told them what I had, they said, no, that can't be, but it is. This one thing operates both the power steering and the brakes. Well, praise the Lord, it went out in our driveway and not down the road, because when it goes out, you lose your brakes and you lose power steering. And imagine that on an icy road. So I'm not sure if you should buy a Chevy Express, but one thing causes me to pretty much lose control over the van. And one little thing in a Christian's life can set us on a spin, because we forget who it is that is with us and his power that he has. Please go with me to Romans chapter 8, again, verse number 4. Romans chapter 8, verse number 4. God just gave me a really good lesson yesterday about walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit as I just kind of hashed over what happened at that door yesterday. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. The Bible says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is a physical decision that we must make, that we are going to remind ourselves of the do's and don'ts of the cans and can'ts of the Christian life, so that we do not find ourselves amongst the dogs or the wolves, if you will, all alone, feeling such. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. There are a lot of people walking right now in the vanity of their mind. Christmas is coming, and they lose all common sense about how much money comes in, how much money can go out. And a situation happened recently with a place that I've been working where these people were spending way more than they were making, and it was putting them and others in a very difficult situation. Why? So-and-so has that. I want that. I want my wife. I want my daughters. I want my children. I want my family to have this item and that item, and I'm just going to get it for Christmas. Were any of you at Kmart on Friday, that Black Friday? Was anybody at Kmart? The cranes were a couple of times, probably. Well, when I went there, there was this extremely long line of people in carts headed towards the back. And Elizabeth was with me, and she says, "What are all these people doing?" And I said, "I have no idea." Some of them looked happy, some of them looked content, some of them just looked frustrated, but it was a very long line heading all the way to the back. And so I wanted to look in the hunting area for if there was any clearance or any sale items. And so we walked back around there, and I poked my head around the end of that aisle, and sure enough, it was the layaway department. And she says, "What does that mean?" I said, "Well, it's almost extinct, but you can sort of buy things, but they'll save them for you, and you just put money down on it." How many people actually pay off all of those items? How many people are capable of paying off all of those items? See, we have these inside. We promise ourselves that we're going to do these certain things and make these certain payments, and on a certain date, we're going to have all of these items. The only thing is our promises to ourselves are not very sure. But when we see the Word of God and its promises, they are sure, and we can take confidence in them. So, it says here in verse 17, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk." We should not even base our spiritual walk on somebody else's spiritual walk. Our walk with Christ should be unique. My walk with Christ should be dependent upon Him and what He leads me and guides me to do through His Word, not because brother or sister so-and-so is doing this or eating this way or buying this product or whatever, but it's based on my personal relationship with God. I do not have a romantic relationship with Julie and being holding hands, hugging, kissing, or all those kinds of things based on how all the rest of you have a romantic relationship with your mate. It's based on how we communicate. I'm not going to ask my mom when I should hug Julie. It just wouldn't work, okay? And so I don't need to ask Brother Josh about his walk with God so that I know how to walk with God. I need to get alone with my Savior and find out how He wants me to walk, not in vanity, not following others, following my Lord, following my Savior. And so we should not have to worry about fear because His presence should be known and because His reassurance should be felt. That reassurance should be felt. To be dismayed, let's run back to our text there in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. It says there in the first part, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Just a frank statement. Second statement, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. His reassurance can be felt. We don't have to be dismayed. Dismayed means to lose courage or resolution. And it can also mean arousing fear. And so to lose courage or resolution, It's that resolution that gives us the vision to go forward and say, by God's grace, we will accomplish this, and by God's grace, we're going to reach this, and by God's grace, we will maintain our freedoms because we're going to pray and we're going to vote. Okay? That is what being resolute is. But He is our God personally. As I am Andrew's father personally, I have the right to grab him and jerk him out of the midst of dogs. Okay? I have the right to push him through the door first. Maybe he needed a little lesson in coping with dogs. But that is my personal right as his father. And God, our Father, also has that right in our lives. Maybe he knows that we need to learn a lesson today. And so he pushes us through that door, in a sense, to open our eyes about something. And it's not a time to go blaming him for the circumstances, but rather thanking him that his promises are true and he is there with us and that he is our God, not their God, as the Philistines would talk about and the Ammonites would talk about and the Syrians would talk about, the God of Israel, but he is our God, our personal God. He strengthens us. His promise here in his word, it says, "For I am thy God." And then he says, "I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee." When we're fearful, we have a great need to be strengthened. When a person is afraid, they're using up a lot of energy. When a person worries, they lose sleep. That robs a person of energy. When a person is fearful, afraid, many times they will break out in a cold sweat. That loses energy. The Word of God uses the word fret, but you've probably heard it just in conversation throughout the years, not to fret. Run with me, if you will, to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Verse number 1. Psalms 37, verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Verse 7. "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." It says, "There cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And it's interesting there that God correlates through David the difference between fretting and resting. When a person worries, they are losing energy. And so it is needful for that person who has been fearful to be strengthened. And God's promise there in Isaiah is that he would strengthen us. He would allow us to regain that momentum and that energy and that vision and that focus that we have lost or has become dim. It's like Grandma Verbig this week is going to get those cataracts off her eyes so that the vision will be clear again. And it's something that over process of time grows and gradually clouds the vision. And that is a perfect example of many of a Christian's life who slowly loses that vision, loses that hope, and loses that focus, and loses that first love, if you will, because of the surroundings and the sayings and the difficulties. And slowly they just allow those waves of life to drift them out far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And not from his salvation, obviously, but from that sweet fellowship. Would go with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19. Proverbs 24, verse 19. The Bible says here, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked." You know what I see right now? I see this frenzy amongst many Christians, not necessarily here, but amongst many Christians concerning our government and Obama, and like this lady said yesterday, she believes that he fits the description of the beast and this and that and another thing. And you know, as I was just trying to finish up and prepare for this morning, I just began to think, how much easier would our lives be if there was no news? No national news, no local news. We just depended upon God to put us and keep us in his will. We pray for our officials like we should, because the Word of God tells us to, but not to be thriving and feeding ourselves with all this information. Because frankly, it puts us in a mindset that may be totally contrary to where we should be in our Christian walk at this point. It doesn't matter what Glenn Beck says, or Sean Hannity, or any of these people says. It matters what God's will is. Doesn't matter what the president necessarily does, because we have to remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And so that means that my responsibility as a person is just to be where God wants me to be. And then everything else that happens around me, like it says in Romans 8:28, it's going to be for my benefit. It's going to be for my good. But it's hard to keep focused because we allow these distractions to come in. Just as Andrew walked in that door, he was immediately distracted. We're not here to soul win. We're not here to talk about God. We're here to survive. Okay? That was the idea at that point. It was survival of the fittest. Okay? And that is how many times we react and we feel. In my goings and comings and with information and correspondence with churches, some Baptist churches today that even support us, it's become more of a political thing. Well, we're going to do this on Monday, and we're going to do this on Thursday, and we're going to do this and this and that for our government, and we're going to write letters, and we're going to do this. Well, that's fine and dandy, I guess, to communicate with those that we have the opportunity to communicate. But we just really need to focus on our walk with God, because He is the one that can change the heart. Because I've seen something over years, and that is letters don't really do a whole lot. They either make people mad or they make people emotional. We need something, as God says, to turn and change the heart, to change the direction of thought pattern. That's a spiritual war. That's a spiritual matter that we can rely upon our God to do. And so our God, He reassures us. He strengthens us. Because we are fearful people, because we are weak. It is easy to make us afraid of something. Maybe not of bears and lions and tigers, but of health or lack of work or relationships, bills. Many things can make a man fearful. Getting old can make a person fearful. I can remember a few years back, somebody turned 30, and boy, that really hit them hard. And to me, 30, that's almost a half a decade away, ago, in the past. And I was telling my kids this week, or maybe it was last week, I said, according to the Bible, I've already lived out half of my life. And that kind of said to them, you know, what does that mean? And so God just reassures us by strengthening us through His Word. His Word is so powerful. And we have much more to look at that we're going to look at tonight in this verse of Isaiah chapter 41. But let's jump back there real quick, one last time before we end this morning. Isaiah 41, it says, "Fear thou not." Short phrase, very powerful. It says, "For I am with thee." The reason. We don't have to fear because He's with us. And then He says, "Be not dismayed." Don't lose your resolution. Don't lose courage. Why? Because He says, "He is our God." So let's not lose our resolution because of what somebody says or how something unfolds. Let's keep that focus on our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day, and thank You for the opportunity that we have to be called Your children and to be able to have Your Word in our hands. And Lord, to be strengthened through You, the pure source, not just as it were this five-hour energy spurt or a three-day energy, but Lord, eternally speaking. Father, speak to us through Your Word that we could leave this building renewed with courage, with resolution, with joy in our hearts, knowing that there is a purpose for us being here and there is a sweet reason for us to be here today and to be able to live this week if it's Your will. Lord, to be able to impact the lives of others for You, and Father, that You would get honor and glory through that. And Lord, that we could go with a smile on our face. Yeah, difficult times, but still with that joy in our hearts and that peace, knowing that You are in control and accepting that Your control is perfect. Give us wisdom for this day, and we'll thank You now. In Jesus' name, amen.